very good morning and welcome along to Clare FM's Farm Focus. James Mulhall with you here today. We'll be talking forestry with Teagasc this morning and we'll hear from a sexed semen expert and we'll also be looking at the coronavirus too. But first, we're going to have a look at the weather for the weekend ahead. So rain will reach western shores early today and it will spread across the province by the afternoon. That will turn heavy at times and it will be persistent later in the day, but it will clear to showers in the evening time and we'll see highest temperatures across the afternoon of between 10 and 11 degrees. It will be drier tonight, but the rain will move in again by tomorrow morning. Sunday so far looks set to be a cold and showery day as light to moderate westerly breezes turn northwesterly and freshen. Some of the showers will be heavy with hail and a risk of isolated thunderstorms and top temperatures tomorrow of 7 to 10 degrees. Now we'll get down to business. I've been speaking before coming on air with Michael Summers from Teagasc about forestry. So Michael, I suppose given the wet weather we've had, it might be a bit silly to some people to be talking about fires, but still look, we're coming into that time of year when anyone involved in the forestry side of things needs to kind of keep the danger of fires in mind.
Well, that's exactly it. Look, April, as we're moving into April, it's statistically the driest month of the year, and over the last number of years there has been a lot of forest fires in from April into May, and there are certain issues there that farmers can look at to help minimise the risk of the threat of fire. And one obviously is just to keep the fire lines or the fire breaks just topped and to allow the new vegetation, because we're at the time of the year where the old vegetation is dying off and the new vegetation is coming along. So, you know, you have a very dry, it's like a tinderbox. So if we get any sort of heat now towards the end of March into April, like, you're creating very good conditions for fire. So, like, we would be of the opinion just to take those areas, top them once the ground gets a little bit drier, to top those and just to minimise the risk.
And would the wet February and kind of into March so far, would that lessen that impact any in that, I suppose, you know, there's more moisture in the ground now? Would that help offset that, do you think?
Well, if you cast your mind back to 2 years ago, it was more or less a similar case. In fact, even we had a big fall of snow, and yet it was the record year for forest fire. So the answer to that would be no. It's amazing how land dries up even within a week of constant sunshine. So, like, once we hit 5 degrees, the new vegetation will start coming along, trees start flushing, grass starts growing, and that's where you get this kind of a dried grass, and like anything from glasses, glass bottles, cigarette butts, whatever, can cause a lot of damage in relation to fire. And it only takes a very, very small amount of material to start a fire in the forest. Like 2 years ago, like Cluish Valley went on fire. It's up in Galway, it's the biggest forest in the country. So, like, you know, like it just doesn't, like, because the land type has a tendency of drying out very quick.
Okay, and looking at the issue of felling licences, I know you're saying before we went on air, a bit of a hold up there.
There is, look, one of the biggest, I think, I would say it is the biggest issue in forestry at the moment is felling licences, because timber is rising at the moment. Sawlog is hitting very high prices. Again, not quite maybe to what it was 18 months ago, but it's not a million miles away from it. So anybody that has a felling licence at the moment, and particularly in Clare, where it might be 3-4 years ahead of the rest of the country, anybody that has a felling licence or a clear felling licence at the moment is in a very good position, and they should, if that should be a take-home point maybe from our little chat here today. Anybody that has 25-year-old plus crops of Sitka spruce that are thinking of clear felling them, I think within the next maybe 3 to 4 months would be a good time to consider at least getting it measured, seeing what the value of it is worth and whether it's worth going or not. Timber goes up and down fairly quickly, so it's on the rise at the moment, and long may it continue.
And that 25-year mark, that's when the licence would actually kick in then, for anyone who's not aware of it?
That should be more like when it's full maturity. Like, when I started in forestry, we were talking always about 40 rotations, but those days are gone. Those days are over. Like, there's been a lot of work done with tree breeding, and the land type, particularly in the farmer state, is a lot better. So when you have better quality trees and better quality land, you're going to have quicker rotations. And Sitka spruce, and as I know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but the sawmillers love it, is hitting very high prices at the moment. And I think anybody that has a felling license should at least consider their options, because at the end of the day, if they're not happy with the price, they can leave it on the stump. That's the beauty of the crop. And I just would be strongly of the opinion anybody that's out of premium should be applying for a fennel license anyway. Once you're out of premium, then you have you have options, because the way that forestry has evolved, those crops will not see to year 30. Unless it's on a very, very poor site. But like, if it's anywhere productive at all, those sites are coming in 25 to 28 years of age, and that's just the nature of what we're having on the ground here.
And what's the actual hold-up then in terms of the licences at the moment?
Look, there's a lot of environmental issues. There's an awful lot of teething out issues that have to be sorted out. At the end of the day, within forestry, we must be very aware of communities, which I strongly think that behind every tree there's a person. That's very important. But the other thing is water quality, environmental issues up the north. East of Clare, you have the whole issue with hen harrier. So there's a lot of environmental issues playing in upon forestry. And these issues need to be ironed out. The felling licence at the moment is for 10 years. So once it gets through, it's there for 10 years. So that's a positive. But like, there are a lot of environmental issues that need to be ironed out. And that's why there is a hold up at the moment.
And just in terms of maybe the process of getting that licence, how does a farmer go about doing that?
Well, the long and the short of it is they should approach an approved forester, because they have all the software to do that kind of work, and they will do the licence for them and just get it ready. Like, and I'll also be of the opinion, before any farmer does any sort of harvesting, particularly clearfell, whatever about tenants, clearfell is absolutely vital that they get the crop measured beforehand, because it takes the guesswork of the value of the timber. Like, you could have 10 different crops in front of you, but you're going to have 10 different values, because products in timber, like a log is a log is a log, but at the end of the day, there's certain products out of that log. So it just needs to be measured up to see what's actually in the forest, and that's very important. So like, again, that will allow the farmer to make certain decisions, and that's very important, particularly at clearfell stage. I would be strongly of the opinion that the only day that the price of timber matters is the day of the clearfell, because, like, let's face it, you're 25 to 30 years before you're going to get the next big payday. So the only day that the price of timber matters is the day of the clearfell. It's very hard to push up a tree once you cut it down. So, like, that's why it would be measurements, getting the product assortments, and then from that, then the landowner can make their own decisions after that.
And in getting that licence, is that a lengthy or a costly process?
Well, a licence by and large is free. Now, some of the companies and foresters out there would be charging a fee for doing, because there is a lot of work involved in the felling licence, unlike in the previous felling Act. That was the 1945 Act. But there is a process involved in that. But look, you're looking anything from a minimum of 6 months to 2 years plus now. So that's why anybody that's out there that has stuff out of premium, just I look, even from the point of view of management, and it'll allow them a little bit of safety as well, insofar as when the timber price rises, at least they're in the position to rise. Now, I know, or they're in the position to take the value of the crop, of the timber prices when they're up high. If they don't have the felling license in place, obviously that's going to hold back the price. So my attitude would be, get in, get the thing applied for. If it's a 2 year period, so what, at least at the end of it you come out and there's not going to be a big rush to get stuff done. Look, we're in the process of timber rising in prices at the moment, which has to be welcomed. And at the end, like, but we need to have landowners in the position where they can fully avail of it. Maybe not necessarily this time around, but definitely next time around, because timber will go up and down, and that's just the nature of the business that we're in.
And just on a final note then, Michael, how quick is the turnaround then, say, if you have your license approved, you're able to fell your trees, and if you want to go again?
Well, should look, there's a big issue there upon the tax scheme, and I don't think we would have all day to do that, because I always say anybody that is doing a clearfell should have a serious chat with an accountant, because there is a lot of money coming in on farms that might not be there beforehand. A little bit, even though the sale of timber is tax-free, I think it's absolutely vital that farmers do tax planning for that, because there are efficient ways of utilising, particularly the pass on of wealth. But within the year should be replanted. Now I know there might be issues with pine weevil and whatnot, but within the year it should be replanted. And again, like, you're looking at 25, 30 years again in the next rotation for the likes of sitka spruce and the faster growing trees anyway. So like, again, the felling process doesn't take that long. A machine will be able to go through, a good operator will be able to go through a hectare a day, maybe a bit more. But the reality, I think, from a farmer's point of view, is before they go near any of the companies, just that if they have this kind of a amount of money coming onto farms, just to look at other ways of utilising that income, because it's a lot of money in the one shot. And most farmers in Clare, despite what environmentalists or whatever will say, will be managing on the Clare Fell system. It's just the wind speeds are too severe down here. But that's not a bad thing either, and it can't be seen as the ones that maybe the people that like continuous cover are better than the fellas that like clear fed. It's just the nature of the crops that you have down here. And so, like, again, going back to it, there's a lot of money involved in this. It's only there that the price of timber matters is the clear fell, and if there's a little bit of planning put in place, it can be very beneficial for the landowner.
Michael Summers from Tagusk there. We'll go to a quick break now. Welcome back to Farm Focus here on Clare FM. Still to come, we're going to be discussing the coronavirus. But first, I've been speaking with John Tobin of the Livestock Improvement Corporation. He's been talking to me about sexed semen.
So my name's John Tobin. I'm assistance manager for LIC. So I've been working with LIC here in Ireland there for the last year. And my job is to drive the business here in Ireland and also manage the IBB programme.
And this interview, I suppose, is very much revolving around sexed semen. So what exactly is that? What are the benefits? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, sexed semen is, within the dairy industry, sexed semen is usually centred around giving you more heifer calves. So conventional semen will give you a 50-50 split between bulls and heifers. The sexed semen give you over 90% heifers. So the benefit of that is guys looking for more heifers, they can achieve that through sexed semen.
Okay, obviously huge benefits to that, particularly like you say in the dairy sector. Are there many people currently using it? Is it very popular?
It's grown here. Our demand has doubled there year on year. This year now it's going very strong. We've sexed the best bulls possible this year. Demand was there for farmers to do that, and as a result, I think we have about 80% of our sexed semen sold all week with nearly 2 months to go. We're just under 2 months to go to start of mating.
Okay, and then in terms of results, then is this a kind of a guarantee, or how do the results go?
Well, once you get to conception, it's not guaranteed, but the results in the trials have shown you do get 90%. You get over 90% heifers and using sexed semen.
Okay, and I presume something of a complex nature like this does come with its challenges as well. Could you maybe outline some of those for us?
Yeah, it does come with challenges. So the biggest challenge to date was the best bulls of Ireland sexed, and that was the biggest challenge. But now the next big challenge is not to lose days and milk, because with sexed semen, the real challenge is that conception rate. So if you're used to a 60% conception rate on conventional semen, you will have to accept using sexed semen. The wise thing to do is accept about 50% conception rate. Now, some guys are getting as good as conventional, but not everybody. So you have to approach it with caution. And a lot of that challenge is coming. There's a lot less semen in those straws, and that's where the challenge is coming from.
Absolutely. And I suppose, like anyone wants to know, is it a pricey operation if it is something that you are interested in kind of pursuing?
Yeah, especially if done wrong, it can be pricey. So currently retails about twice the price of conventional semen. So that's, again, is where you'd need to be talking to your breeding advisor, sitting down and going, why are you using sexed semen? What are you trying to achieve? And if you do achieve that, are you going to get a return on that extra cost? So a big thing we drive is you have to use it and handle it right. You have to do that with all semen, but especially with sexed semen being so expensive.
Absolutely. And now you mentioned how this can be of great benefit to dairy farmers. So when we look at that sector generally at the moment, what does the future look like for Irish dairy farmers, do you think?
I think it's exciting. I think the opportunities out there are great, like the opportunity to grow compared to even just 10 years ago. You don't need land anymore to be a dairy farmer. That was unheard of 10 years ago. So yeah, I think dairy farming is in a great place, and the opportunities there to grow are amazing. Oh, hey, it's got its challenges, and definitely got its challenges at the moment with the weather.
Absolutely, yeah, we're feeling that in Clare for sure. And would you say it's a positive time to be in the industry? So,
yeah, give it put the weather aside. Hey, James, yeah, definitely it is positive. For guys that want to grow, it's definitely a positive time. There's opportunity. I think grass-based milk is going to really gain value over the next few years as consumer demands a better quality product.
Okay, great. And I suppose overall then, John, you mentioned, I suppose, the benefits of some of this technology in the dairy sector, and the reasons obviously being that you want as many cows as possible there. But if you're not in dairy, would you still go down the sex semen route? Would there be benefits to it?
So you're suppose you're talking about the suckler herd, James. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so as we touched on earlier, the real benefit of sex semen for heifers is you get 90% heifers. Now, a lot of people don't realise it's a lot less when you get sex semen bulls. So it's only about 60 or 70% bulls as opposed to 90%. So that extra cost or that little bit of extra gain is not really worth it at the moment. So this technology improves at the moment. If you're using sex semen to achieve bulls, it is a very risky and can be a costly exercise.
And I suppose for anyone who does want to find out more about sex semen, and like you say, you just, given the cost of it, you need to figure out, is it something that is right for you? So if you do want to find out more, where can you do so?
Oh, look, you can contact LIC or our partners here in Ireland, Eugene. You can ring the office 052 744 2517.
John Tobin there. And finally, we're on to the coronavirus. So look, it's a very different country now compared to this time last week, and we've no indication at all so far of where things will be in another 7 days. But for now, level heads are absolutely what's needed here, and just looking at the facts and the advice from the top down. So the government, of course, has implemented some safety measures, and this is impacting on every corner of society, and farming, of course, being no different. So Clare Mearts has introduced a number of restrictions which will be reviewed as the national advice changes. So yesterday I was speaking with manager of the Mart, Martin McNamara, on that.
At the moment, as the minister says, we intend operating as sales as usual under the guidelines laid down by the government yesterday. And obviously, we'll be following a protocol where the numbers will be restricted in any one ring at any time to less than 100 people. And we would ask people that only have business to attend the mat, number one. Number two, we'd ask parents to keep children away from the mat during this current situation as well. And as I say, it's important that people that only have business attend to the mat. And we can offer a facility whereby sellers, if they wish to sell the stock and are not there, the stock will be sold on their behalf, as the minister, subject to their approval. So this is a facility that will be available, and if anyone wants stock purchased on their behalf, this can be arranged as well.
And obviously it's a popular day out for farmers to go along and just to watch, but just for the time being, just don't do that.
That's what we'd be trying to say to people, is that, you know, it's business to be done, and we'd ask people to refrain from just coming viewing on the day, as the menses, and that unless they have business to conduct, to stay away.
And this is the guidelines at the moment, and it's obviously a moving feast, so we don't know where this is going to go, but this could be reviewed in the coming days and weeks.
Well, obviously, any decision taken at a national level in relation to changes to protocol will be implemented by the MATs. And, you know, we are going to be governed at all stages by what the advice will be on that issue. And appropriate action will have to be taken as the guidelines change.
And for anyone who has any queries or concerns, can they contact yourselves directly?
Yes, they can ring us here in the office, 065 68 244 11.
Martin McNamara there. And just to say once more that that may change as the days go on, and we will keep you up to date here on Clare FM. In the light of COVID-19, please do look after yourselves. Don't panic and stay tuned to Clare FM for updates across our news all day, every week. We're here around the clock to keep you informed. Importantly, though, this will pass, so just make sure you heed the advice of those who are in the know. I'll be back next week with another edition of Farm Focus. But in the meantime, stay with us and mind yourselves. Country Corner's up after the break.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.